Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all the angels. Praise him, all his hosts.
O Lord, open thou our lips, and our mouth shall show forth thy praise. Praise ye the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Almighty God, in Jesus Christ, you called us to be your servant people, but we do not do what you command. We are often silent when we should speak, and useless when we could be useful. We are lazy servants, timid and heartless, who turn neighbors away from your love. Have mercy on us, O God, and though we do not desire your care, forgive us and free us from sin, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us continue in silent confession. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Know that our hearts are opened by the Spirit to receive God's grace. Accept it, and be thankful. A new month is here, the semester is speeding by, and a new emphasis for chapel starts in November, and that is an emphasis on giving thanks. Now, first speaker for chapel to speak on this topic is Mel Williams. Mel is from Aberdeen, North Carolina, graduate from Wake Forest and Yale Divinity School, and has been a minister at Pullen Memorial Baptist Church in Raleigh for 9.5 years. Many of you here probably know him through pastoral care courses, as his interests are in pastoral care and counseling, and he assists in small group work in that introductory pastoral care course. He has been involved in many creative ministries with enabling groups for separated and divorced persons and family cluster groups and worship leading. His creative abilities are beyond compare, and I have served on staff with him and speak very highly of his person and have lots of respect for him. And I welcome him to Southeastern Seminary this morning. And first of all, he is going to come and share with us as we sing the Old Testament lesson.
We will sing the Old Testament lesson. It's Psalm 100. This may not be familiar to you, at least the singing version of reading the scripture. So I hope you will participate wholeheartedly and you will sing exactly what I sing. And so just flow along with it, and we will hopefully hear some new tones from the 100th Psalm.
Make a joyful noise,
make a joyful noise
to the Lord,
to the Lord,
all ye lands,
all ye lands.
Serve the Lord with gladness,
serve the Lord with gladness.
Come into his presence with singing,
come into his presence with singing.
Know that the Lord is God.
Know that the Lord is God.
It is he that made us.
It is he that made us.
We are his people.
We are his people.
And the sheep of his pasture.
And the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates.
Enter his gates.
With thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving.
And his courts with praise.
And his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him.
Give thanks.
and bless his name.
And bless his name.
For the Lord is good.
For the Lord is good.
His love endures forever.
His love endures forever.
And his faithfulness.
To all generations.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The New Testament reading is found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
A few weeks ago, my phone rang at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I plopped my feet on the floor when I heard a husband and wife on the other end of the phone howling with delight over what had just happened in their life. We've got a boy! Praise the Lord! Let us worship God! That was the husband speaking. Well, this euphoria continued, and the basic statement that I heard in that holy moment in the middle of the night was thanks, thanks, thanks. Another conversation a few weeks ago with a woman in my congregation whose husband died about a year ago, I had stood with them as he died a rather agonizing death. And now, after a year of missing him dreadfully, enduring the loneliness, I asked her, is it getting any better? No, it's still hard. But I'm okay. And I asked, how is it that you're okay? Because God is merciful. I know that God is merciful. And that's how I make it. In other words, thanks for the mercy of God, or as the hymn says it, God will be near thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. How, in times of grief and joy, can we offer a proper thanks? This morning, I do not wish to offer positive thinking, nor do I want to deny the necessity for expressing anger, outrage, or sadness. But I do want to say that we offer a proper thanks when we realize that we have no right to be ungrateful. We have no right to be ungrateful. All of us have certain limitations and handicaps in our lives. We have our sins and griefs to bear. But for any of us, we have been given far more than we deserve. By being born, we are given a life which we have done nothing to earn or deserve. Our life is gift, not possession. All we have is given. Therefore, the only adequate response is thanksgiving. Why then Is it so hard to say a genuine thank you? We are often reluctant receivers who give thin thank yous. Watch people when they say thank you.
Thank you. Oh, well,
thank you. I have decided that a part of my ministry must be helping folks learn to say thank you. Not as manners or courtesy, but as a way of claiming any compliment, of claiming any gift. To say a proper thank you is to receive into my very being this gift and to grasp the wonder of even being alive in this moment. Now, it's hard to say thank you to another person, and I think it's triply hard to say a genuine thank you to God. But that's why we come to worship. We bring our bodies, ourselves, around the table as the central act of our worship, and that communion we call Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. For at that table, we open our hands and our hearts and take into our bodies this reminder that life is gift, not to be kept, but given away. Now, at that table of Eucharist, all of us is involved. Think of your senses. We see the bread. We touch it. We smell the aroma of wine. We hear the words of institution. We taste the bread. And echoing is the blessing from the Jewish service. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Gift, gift. Henry Nouwen, who teaches at Yale Divinity School, says that the task of seminary education, and it can be said to be the central task, is to convert resentment into gratitude. The task of our theological education is to convert our resentment into gratitude. The resentment which drives us to compete, to be envious of another person, which blocks our energy as well as our action. And gratitude, on the other hand, which opens us to new experiences and gives us new vitality. Gratitude which makes us thankful receivers and not fearful takers. Gratitude which enables us to trust the shaping and forming which God is doing in our life. And if we are to know this gratitude, and really know it in our gut, we must stop to reflect on our experiences, to see how God is nagging us and prompting us and on some days invading us. If we do not take time to reflect, we can easily develop a kind of closedness, a kind of resentment, or the biblical phrase is hardness of heart, which Wayne Oates translates as unteachableness. The question then for our gratitude is whether we are teachable at any age in our life, whether we can learn from our experience, whether we see the insights, whether we look for those insights. We need time to reflect, for the unreflective person is inevitably the ungrateful person. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. To worship God is to offer thanks for the countless gifts of love, for the moments of wonder, for the gleaning of new insight, even for the opportunity to be interrupted by some new person, some new experience, some new truth. To give thanks, we acknowledge the goodness of our gifts, and we know who to thank for them. We must remember also that our gifts include our sufferings, our times of trial, from which none of us is spared. Elie Wiesel, in Gates of the Forest, says that any person who is put to the trial must give triple thanks. Triple thanks. Thanks for giving us strength to endure the trial. Thanks for bringing the trial to an end. Thanks for the trial itself. For suffering, Wiesel says, contains the secret of creation. It can be pierced only from the inside. Suffering betters some people and transfigures others, so no one loses. It betters some people and transfigures others. If we have this attitude toward our suffering, then we can pray the prayer which says, "Thank you, God, for all you have given us. Thank you for all you have taken from us. Thank you for all you have left with us." We give thanks for our troubles because if we are teachable, we learn from them to be aware of others' suffering, not to fear the pain of another person. We learn the importance of being there for the other. We learn to be less judgmental. We learn to see the lightness, the humor, the grace of every moment. How can I repay the Lord for all his bounty to me? The psalmist asks. We spend our life answering that question. How can I repay the Lord for all his bounty to me? We can never give back enough, but we spend our life learning that the only proper thanks is something we do, our service to somebody else. We thank God by learning to give our life away. Amen.